It's now time to think outside the box of what we've always known.
I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord.
I think that's a profound turning point in somebody's relationship with God.
And our hope in starting this was that this would become an ever-expanding conversation.
Just two real guys talking about life. That's a nice tagline.
I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And I'm Brad Cummings.
And welcome to another edition of The God Journey. Bradley, shipper update.
Oh, hey.
He's back?
No. But guess what? My kids have had a whole series of multiple dreams of that cat coming back. And, I mean, at a point in time when Kelly has already been going to the animal rescue shelter ready to get a new replacement. And you're just going...
A dog? Tell me it's a dog. Not another cat.
Taylor's voting for kitties. She'd like plural.
Okay, well, Taylor's...
Jonathan's kind of like, I think I'd like a dog.
There you go.
I threw in my hat for a dog.
There you go.
Kelly's going, yeah, but cats are a little less maintenance. They kind of take care of themselves.
And yeah, and they're kind of cozy.
Jared's kind of sitting on the fence because he's aware of all his options.
Oh, so Jared just grow up.
He just kind of, no.
How about a baboon?
I don't think so. but
Cummings family,
I will share the suggestion with the Cummings family. But you know what's so interesting?
Yep.
This is leading into a wonderful set of dialogues of how do we really hear God's voice? How do we discern what it is we're hearing? Because, you know, Jonathan was so sure that Chipper was coming back that he called Grandma and he said, Grandma, you got to go buy our house. I think Chipper might be sitting out back.
And where were y'all? You weren't at your house.
I was in Nashville.
Okay.
The family was up at Shaver Lake. Hey, they won the 4th of July thing for the third year in a row.
Yeah, you Cummings are too competitive.
No. I don't think they went up there to try to even do it, but somehow they put on...
They're the only people at Shaver Lake that take this thing seriously.
No, we're not. No. The lake is full. There's competition, but the truth is we've won 3 years in a row. And it's like...
What did you do this year? It wasn't George and Laura.
I wasn't there. I have no idea.
You know what they did? You didn't find out?
I didn't get all the details. I just got home a few days ago, all right?
You talked to your family?
Yeah, but we haven't debriefed all the details.
You got home yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. I haven't debriefed all the details.
Okay, well, there you go.
So, in all of that...
Well, Sarah and I were going to copy it for next year so we could win.
I know. Well, we'll send you this stuff.
Okay, great.
But in all of that, it's been fun to just sort of talk through the suggestions of, well, okay, you get some of this right, some of this wrong, and... It's been neat. My kids right now, for whatever reason, are all really spiritually hungry. They're asking a lot of questions. And out of the midst of painful stuff, it's just neat to kind of turn it towards the Lord and watch what unfolds. So, I don't know. I'm half of the mind.
You're half of mine.
I've been out of my mind, but
okay.
Now I'm half of the mind.
So it's showing progress.
That this cat just might show up. And so who knows?
Or if a dog shows up named Chipper, take it. Because I might drop one off on your doorstep with a Chipper tag. Saying I've reincarnated into a canine. Take me in.
He is known as the cat dog. And my kids were saying, well, you got to write a book, Dad, on the cat dog. Because we had just so many funny stories.
I had a guy in Ireland. He listens to the podcast, too. And he kept telling me. He's from Northern Ireland. He came down and visited us. He said, I'm going to tell you, I've got a cat wing you would love. This cat's just like a dog. And I'm saying... It's just like a dog. Get a dog. Why do you want a cat?
No, Wayne, this is part of a knowledge you only get through experience, and you have not experienced a cat that's like a dog, and if you had, you'd understand what that man from Ireland was saying.
I guess I would. I'm just my experience.
You probably never will.
The fact that I'm allergic to cats goes a long way. But if I get to Northern Ireland, I'll give it a shot. Have a look. Yeah.
Say, hey. I'm sure everyone has been itching to hear about Ireland, and so let's move the Blarney Stone over and set it down. How's the Blarney Stone?
The Blarney Stone is not one thing they let me kiss when I'm in Ireland.
No,
they say there's a few of us that got the gift of gab. That's what you get when you kiss the Blarney Stone. So like, no.
You made out for a long time years ago, huh?
With the stone? I don't think so.
Well, you
so.
Do have the gift of gab, and you have it in droves.
Unfortunately,
so.
We do. Let me set up for what Ireland was about, because I know folks really wanted to hear about it, and I'm dying to share. And I've got some help today, because toward the end of it, I just talked to quite a few people and recorded some of their comments and observations about the week. But I'll just set it up, and we'll let them kind of speak for it, and then you and I will come out and talk about some of the things we're
about.
Let
me ask a question.
Sure.
For those who don't know anything.
Yep.
You went to Ireland. Why?
Well, I was invited to come. A good friend of mine from Australia, he and his wife, Kevin and Val Smith, who've been on the podcast with us before, were going to be there for a couple of weeks. And the folks from Ireland just said, hey, you know, some other folks are going to be here from South Africa at the same time, and maybe you'd want to be here too. And I said, I don't think so. I got a lot to do. I was going to be elsewhere in Europe. I'd just been to Ireland. And they're a little persistent. They came back and just said, you know what? God seems to be putting something
together.
It's
like a little global powwow of a whole bunch of people that know each other.
Some did, some didn't. But it kind of took on a life of its own, from just a few of us are going to be there and some folks are going to overlap to maybe God has some other folks to come. So people invited folks to be there.
Wow.
And so this community, which we've had their story on before about a year ago, Laying It Down in Dublin, will kind of give you the background on this group of folks who don't meet together with any regularity. They've known each other for 30 years. They've shared the life of Jesus together in and out of their homes. And their thought was, let's just have a festival where we all kind of get together for a week without any agenda, without any speaking, planned meetings.
Ha.
Let's just come together and see what God does for us.
Now that's unique.
Yeah, very unique.
That's unique.
We'll be in and out of each other's homes, of picnics and barbecues. And so, I no one counted these things, so I'm just going to give rough figures so people know. Probably 60 folks or so from Dublin hosted about 40 of us who came in from 11 different countries, Europe, South Africa, Zimbabwe, New Zealand, Australia, and from the States. And I invited some folks that God had put on my heart and said, hey, you might be interested in coming and seeing what this is about. But the ones I invited, I said, you know what, I can't promise you anything. It's going to be a total bust for all I know. It's just, we're just coming together. We're going to spend a week having picnics and barbecues and seeing what God does relationally. And so we showed up, and pretty much that's what we did. We had somebody got a little bit of acreage and a nice big green grassy field, and they bought a couple weeks before one of these big, you know, wedding marquees, these kind of like big tents that you can put 100 people under. And they bought that thing because the weather's not always good in Ireland.
No, yeah. I've experienced the same thing.
It's the Emerald Isle for a reason.
Yeah, it's well watered.
It's
well watered.
And this was supposed to be the hottest summer on record for them, and it rained every day, and some days lots of rain while we were there. We played golf in the rain. We toured in the rain. We met in the rain. We got together the first afternoon. It was just a big picnic. 100 folks came. And
you met your long-lost aunt over there.
I met my long lost aunt.
Well, someone, one of your wonderful dear friends.
Oh no! Don't do that.
Me the photo, Wayne.
No.
Yes, Wayne.
No. That's a long story.
It's either your long lost aunt.
Let's say it is.
Or aunt. You're a crossdresser.
We say aunt here in the States.
Or you're a crossdresser.
No, I'm not.
This
really
is a lady in purple.
Purple.
Purple hair.
It's not a lady, first of all.
Is it?
And there were a lot of people wearing purple hair.
I only have the picture of you.
I have pictures of lots.
I laughed for a good almost 5 minutes enjoying this and the email that came along with it.
That was day two. I haven't got to day two yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. I couldn't resist, and I did promise the email sender that we would put it on the website.
I'm so glad I have I'm not putting it on the website, first of all.
Yeah.
And you don't know how.
You have
so
to.
There you
you
go.
Have to. Or those that know how. I have a password. I can. If I'm instructed, I can do this.
No, you don't want to. There's enough of me on the website already.
No.
Things. Yes.
Not this side of you.
I'll put the leotard on again.
Not this side.
Actually, it started kind of funny, because I was in England getting emails. Everybody that was coming was on an internet list together, and they start talking about, you know, having a women's tea and then a youth meeting, and I'm just like, okay, now I'm seeing we don't even plan to. We're going to break up in these ways that we always break up in, you know.
So
by
you were busting group stereotypes, were you?
Well, I just put a thing on. I said, well, obviously I can't go to the women's thing, but how young do you have to be to go to the youth thing? And some of the snarky little girls from a little girl, she's in her 20s, but one of the my dear friends from Ireland wrote back and said, well, if you have a wig and makeup or wig and lipstick, you can go to the women's tea. And as far as I'm concerned, you're welcome at the youth thing. So I got to my room and laying on the bed was a purple wig.
In full regalia.
No, it was just a purple wig.
All right.
And I put my suitcase down, went and talked. Well, I came back in, and there's a tube of lipstick sitting there. So I'm thinking, okay, this is growing, and this could get really bad. But it didn't grow from there, thankfully.
So did you have a couple pints of Guinness? Is this what happened?
Yeah, I'm not a Guinness guy. Some of the other folks did, but not me. So the next day, we had a big bus tour. First day was just a picnic. I'm telling you, the conversations that went on in that place, not only from the folks around there who don't see each other all the time, who loved connecting again, and then meeting all these other people who'd come in from South Africa and Australia and all these other places. Some of them had previously met. A lot of them had not. And you know how you're often in big groups of people and you kind of in one conversation and that kind of ends and you turn around and then you're kind of left out of every conversation. You sit there feeling like a wallflower, kind of awkward. This never happened that I know of. You turn around from one conversation and immediately sucked into another one. And just the depth of sharing of each other's lives. That was Sunday in a field.
Wow.
And Monday we went on a bus tour. They were going to, one of the men there is a tour guide and he's a funny man we like playing with. So I thought I'd get on the bus and throw the purple wig on because that'd be hilarious. And it actually worked out pretty well because everybody ended up wearing the wig at one point or another. And we just had a great time. And it really opened doors with kids and youth there. And we just had ourselves a great time. And
you were kind of cute.
We spent all day touring and having conversations in the bus, on hikes, going through fabulous. And that just kicked off the week. The rest of the week, there was not any other all-group meetings. There was, you know, 10, 12 people being this home for dinner, 5, 6 over here for lunch. People, the house I was staying in, people kept coming by. We were a bit out of town from Dublin. And some of the Dublin folks, the kids would come down during the day, and we'd just sit down and talk. As folks living next door. It's a wonderful thing that's happened in this south of Dublin areas in this County Wicklow. Oh, 7 or 8 families have, as they're retiring, kind of migrating down that direction and
wow.
Buying homes near each other. It's kind of the opposite of what some say. You know, if you're going to form a house church, you got to all buy homes on the same street, and then you end up hating each other, and now you've got homes next to each other. These people became friends first and then found ways to live near each other. And so the home next door was folks that were part of this whole thing as well. And they had this little, your kids need to see this, little 9-week-old lab puppy. Oh, baby. So I was over there every day just being friends with the puppy. And I almost wanted to take her home. She was really wonderful. But I'd have broken a little boy's heart, so I decided not to take his puppy home.
That's smart.
But the whole week long, just all kinds of fellowship. And there was no angst for everybody's got to be together and who's here with this person. I got to go over there and meet that person. It just flowed wonderfully. And then we finished on the next Saturday with a big barbecue. We had 3 barbecues cooking food. And, man, they were hamburgers and chicken and sausage. And people brought side dishes. And, again, we spent a whole bunch of hours just sitting around talking.
And did it remain agenda-free?
It really did.
See, that's probably heaven on earth right there.
I'm telling you, there wasn't even the last Sunday. No one even said, hey, let's have a meeting of some kind.
Did they try to name it?
No, nobody named it anything. And what's interesting now is it's all gone. There's nothing there to like, oh, I go to Dublin and see this. Well, you can't. It's people.
It's gone.
And the people have all scattered, and the field is a field again. And we just had a great time. And what's enduring is the relationship. Now, I want you to hear from other folks. I want you to hear what it is that God touched in other people. And then I think we can talk on the backside of some of this. And there's probably 10 people here. I'm not going to try and identify all of them. Some of them you've heard before on various podcasts or people I've interviewed in the past. But by their accents and by their genders, you're going to hear a pretty good smattering of folks and what they have to say about our time in Ireland.
Oh, great.
We really appreciate the way it was all set up and meeting out there in that big marquee the other day. And 100 people who, most of them really didn't know each other, did they?
Nope.
And there was just an atmosphere, wasn't there? There was just something united.
I looked around and I thought each of these people have such a unique and special story to share of what Father has been doing in their lives, and I wanted to hear every single one, and I knew that I couldn't.
Well, we got more in than you'd ever gotten in at a conference, didn't we?
Yeah. Yes, you're right.
Because instead of listening to one person talk, people have been sharing not only that day, which most of us were strangers that day, and they weren't to me. I knew, I think, all but about 12 people in that tent. But for a lot of other people, it was just the beginning of a week of relationships.
Yes.
But I think by the end of the week, the number of stories that we do have and the feelings for specific people, not just
we
had a wonderful group meeting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been the relationships that have been developed and the connections that have been made.
I've seen open homes before. I've seen houses where you were welcomed. But I had never seen open hearts like this. I had never been with this many people who represented a life in Christ and a life of Christ in them like I've seen here. Never in my entire life.
Really?
So that's quite a statement because I've been around a few years. And seriously, it's been a tremendous thing. We look around and it seems like every turn we find another couple we haven't met, and yet we see a common heart. And yet, the magnificent thing is it's without form, it's without protocol.
We've been the same. I mean, I could not even visualize in my wildest imagination how this is going to work out, not having been at any place like this before, when there's a gathering from all over. How can it work out without any organization? And I have found that the times when there were bigger or larger groups together were real blessings. There was a real flow of the Spirit, and quite often we were quiet and just waiting on the Lord. Quite often spontaneous prayer happened and some worship when these groups were together. The twos and threes that gathered together were a blessing.
It was a real inspiration to obviously, you know, hear what Father's saying, and that's something we talk a lot about. But I really got the impression that there's things on his heart of the way that he wants to touch others in creative ways that sometimes we're not aware of because of our own box, the own framework that we have, our idea of reaching out or touching others. How do you reproduce in this family? And you usually come up with some kind of strategy. And I just hear him saying, no strategy. There's some things in front of your face that if you just be quiet and listen to me a little bit while you're resting, you're renewing your strength for a purpose. Mm. And sometimes, you know, we just feel that, well, I've come out of the system. I've worked hard. I'm just going to rest. I'm going to sit around tables, eat with people, you know, have wonderful fellowship, enjoy Daddy's love, and just leave it at that.
Well, I think it's been a little picture of the delight of being brothers and sisters together in God's family without anything holding us together apart from Him. Father is at work in His people and doing things that are similar but not the same, moving people forward without being a movement, adventuring in the life of God, letting God's life flow almost in spite of us. And that's thrilling, because you say, I've always believed these things are happening. I've seen it confirmed now from how many nations? 8, 9 nations together. That's significant.
Several people have used the word that you've used, and that is the word reality, and the word the sense of freedom and lack of pretense. And I think every one of those words have a fitting for us that has real significance. A lack of pretense, the fact you can be yourself and be truly genuine, and you sense it with reciprocity. You hear it coming back. That's a fantastic. It's a work of God. It's a work of the Spirit.
For us, it's been just pure delight. We have been thrilled to have so many people. We've been thrilled as well to just see the way in which folks have flowed together, and there's been no contrived agenda, but the Lord has had His agendas, maybe hundreds of them, and we don't know the beginning or end of what's gone on in people's lives. For me personally, before it all came, I felt I heard the Lord say that there would be a knowing and understanding of Him that would take place that was beyond our mind or our comprehension just by thinking about it. And I think that has happened. There's been an experience of the presence of the Lord that can only happen, I think, in the context of folks being together, be it in small groups or in larger groups or whatever, but sharing life. And there's something very precious about that. I mean, when Paul talks in Ephesians about that you may, together with all the saints, understand. I wonder, two ways of maybe interpreting that, about it being that you might all together understand, or that because you are together, there is the understanding.
And the life of Christ that's being shared in those small conversations. I mean, there's been a lot of sharing of who people are and where they've come from, but there's also been the deeper sharing of what God is doing now in people's lives, and that for me is what's vital, and to give that from what God is saying and doing through you too.
And your kids, they felt comfortable in the
whole... They did. Yeah. They've really enjoyed it, which is very special to us as parents. In fact, Kathy's comment when we first got back after that first Sunday, she said, are all these people outside of the church system? She said, I didn't think there were that many people in the whole world that were out.
Oh, my God. So your son came over from the States and met you here?
Mm-hmm.
What has this weekend, other than you haven't seen him in 3 years, so I understand that was incredibly fabulous, just connecting with your son. But what has it meant for you two to connect with this wider expression of the body of Christ?
I think my son in the last couple of months, the last 6 months or so, did go through the same settling than we went through. And he had total peace with the direction that him and his wife took, also in moving out of the institutional church. And also for him, I have been really praying a lot for him for a long time, and I suddenly started to see the fruit of my prayers in his turning to a very closer, much closer relationship to the person of Jesus. And for me, that is exactly what happened to me the last 2 years. And so when we got together, we sensed the presence of Jesus between us, which was totally something totally different than we've ever had before. For us, that those 3 days that he was here with us was a real blessing. And he himself was very sure that the Lord sent him, and it was partly for what happened between us, but also he asked the Lord, why did I come? And our hosts, really beautiful people, opened their home for us, and we saw in them an amazing spirit of generosity and servanthood, and especially in the lady Olive, who is just going along and working and helping other people. And my son said to me, you know, as I was running and I asked Jesus, why was I here? He said to me, you came to see Olive. And we are looking for the big things in a weekend like this.
Yep.
And so he came to see her lifestyle and her life of servanthood. Made a deep impression on both of us, especially on him.
I do see that God would have a strategy of joining hearts, not just at a local level, but bigger than that. Mm. And that can be strategic in his plan and his purpose. That there is that Holy Spirit heart joining that takes place, and that he can play on those heartstrings when he needs to, and bring one and another in different places to mind, and have us stand and support one another. I think that's very valuable. I've seen that in the past, and I think that's only going to grow more and more. What I was fascinated with was the host coming to me, some of the host families, and each one would say, I don't know about everybody else, but we got the best. Mm. Or we got the cream.
Well, it's always tiring when you do something like that, but it's just been so worth it. You can't describe it, but it's just wonderful to experience. Mm. And I found the week just so strengthening and so reassuring, and things that I thought, I know, I really think that now. It's just been, a really encouraging week.
Isn't it true that the thing we've seen here is just that it's not a matter of how we make things happen, it's a matter of how God is making things happen, and we've stopped long enough and endeavoured to remove our part from it so that we can actually see something of Father's work in us more clearly. We see it from time to time, but here it's been very evident. It's been very evident in the fact that there are people who didn't know each other, once you know someone in the family, you can never unknow them. So what's happened here has an impact that will be felt right through to eternity.
we've been talking today about our effect on the people around, and just really encourage that we don't need special programs or evangelistic campaigns, but just to love and to enjoy the life that we have, and let people see it and let them be drawn in. And that's really, I suppose, the desire of our hearts now, that we're tired of talking about being outside the box or the people who don't go to church or something. That's not really it. It's, we all have a longing to see, to be the kind of people that people look at and say, they know God.
Last night, in the course of the night, the Lord just spoke in my heart. He said, "You are amongst giants." And I went, that is amazing. You know, these people are giants in the area of relationship. That's been my impression. They are so generous and hospitable and loving each other. And I said to them this morning, if this is the fruit of what we decided to do 6 years ago, 20 years down the line, I'm all for it. I'll walk this walk. It's great, you know.
That's rich. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, mind-blowing and wonderful stuff in that.
Oh, and there'd be so much to unpack there. I mean, I took snippets of things that could be entire discussions.
It's like a teaser trail forever.
The value of a group of people. We didn't have one teaching session. There's one time where a man facilitated a bit of dialogue because there's something he had on his heart that we wanted to share together. He didn't ask to do it. Others asked him to. It was one song we sang together as a whole group of people. That's it. Everything else happened because we were just together listening to God. And deep prayer, deep sharing, deep teaching, dialogue, times that went on. And people would kind of join in, and then others would fade away into other conversations.
I don't know that I have language for what the system has typically done to warp our way of thinking. But what you guys experienced together, in my mind, you know, the whole time I'm listening, it's like, I think the Lord was kind of saying, you know, this is meant to be normal. This is not some extraordinary or just some special weekend, but this is what life
or group of people
in His kingdom
absolutely
is meant to be like if we would allow His leading and administration to happen. I mean, the some of the statements of, you know, just didn't have any idea how it could work out with any without some organization. And it's like, well, you're not without the organizer. If we're all just listening to what the Holy Spirit's asking of us or inviting of us. I mean, it's like, I think sadly, and while purpose can be wonderful, if you're always asking like, well, what's the purpose of this? You may miss out on the joy of just sharing life that isn't subjugated to, oh, what's the purpose? It's like, well, there's a multitude of purposes, but you're more important than just the purpose.
Yeah, and there was some organization behind who's going to be in which home, the fact that nobody was asked to do anything they didn't freely choose to do.
That's wild.
The barbecue, one couple said, we'll provide a barbecue, we'll provide the meat, we'll do all the cooking for 100 people. They volunteered.
That's huge. That's a big task, and they embraced it.
In the middle of the rain, they hoped to have it at their house. They couldn't in the end because we had to go back to where we had a little bit of coverage from the rain. But they brought all their barbecues over. They cooked there. What I came away with, I think you hear it here, the amount of discoveries people had about themselves in God, things God showed them just being in this environment was incredible. The relationships that God built was incredible, and I think there'll be lifelong friendships come from this event.
When Kevin said, once you get to know someone in God, you can never unknow them.
Yeah, isn't that great?
I just sat there like, oh, that's so amazing and so true.
But how many times do you go to a meeting of Christians and never really have a heart connection with anybody because you've just been a spectator? That's what we were talking about earlier, what the system robs from us. The fact that we were here together for a week, and we didn't have to sit through a lecture. So we didn't have to cram fellowship in around the stuff. Fellowship was the stuff. And so whether it was in a home or sitting around a table, there'd be 100 of us in the same room, but there's 50 conversations going on at any one time, and people are opening up their lives, and they're revealing things about themselves, and other people are picking up on it and asking questions and learning things, and then they're sharing from their life. And there's this wonderful mix of just conversation. And when you're in it, It seemed like the most natural thing in the world. You didn't sit there and go, wow, this is really holy, spooky. This was just people.
People that, relating.
And I think it's redefined. I mentioned this on my blog a little bit. People say, boy, parse that out some more for us. But I think I've redefined what is the body of Christ. You know, we've talked about, you know, being a building, being a gathering, being. I think, as I came away from this week, I could say, you know what the body of Christ is? It's friends and friends of friends. It's when I'm your friend, and when you introduce me to your friend, I introduce you to my friend. The body of Christ just grows in that network of knowing. A lot of these people in Ireland, I had introduced to other people. And some of the relationships I have are because people in there introduced me to folks in South Africa as they found out I was going to say, hey, we got some great folks down there. We know you got to go see them. And I took the time to go see them. I took time to say, okay, I'm going to stay in the country a little bit longer. I'm going to go visit some of these people. And what you see in Ireland is not only, at one point, it is the fruit of all that. It is the fruit of these people around Dublin have been sharing relationship for 30 years. So I like what Stefan said at the end. He's from South Africa, Lady Smith. He said, if what we started to do 6 years ago produces this 20 years from now.
Amen.
I hope you'll hear the sense of process in that. This is not something just, well, I got to go find one of these and create one of these. And, you know, there's no desire to even replicate Ireland. This, God asked a group of us to be together for a week. We all learned something. We all grew in something. What else God might ask us to do? We wouldn't try to duplicate that event. We just wouldn't. It was a thing.
You know, it was so exciting about when I went to Nashville. I was jealous of what you guys were experiencing in Ireland. I'm going like, wow, that's really cool. But God just told me to go to Nashville. And I had some of the best heart connections with total strangers that were just friends of friends.
There you go.
So if you're sitting here listening like, oh, well, gee, I wish someone would invite me. You know what? Around the next bend, the next little act of obedience to the nudging of God, if you're just open to letting the Lord kind of orchestrate this. I was in Nashville at a time when there was a big machine making a big thing happen, chewing up and tiring everybody out. And I was able to just sort of weave in and out and experience some of what you guys were describing without having to just be eaten up by a machine.
Yep.
And it's like, you know what? It is an approach to life is what I think I was hearing out of the multitude of what people were saying. It's like, it wasn't an it. It wasn't, we're doing the Ireland thing. It was in the relationships that just, it was being natural.
And they were natural and they were fun. There wasn't anything about this that was tough. We were together long enough to, you know, rub against a few things. You kind of go, okay, I don't like that so much. But it wasn't a big deal. And I think one of the things we've learned from the folks in Ireland, the fact that they've been 30 years related to each other says a whole lot about the fact that they didn't have an organization to carry together, because if they would have had an organization to carry together, they likely wouldn't still be in fellowship, all of them, with each other. That's what our track record is like.
Yeah.
When I look back and say, gosh, there are people I was with at the funeral last week saying, I could still journey with them. If we hadn't had this machine among us and the fight for who could control it, who was willing to fight to control it, we'd probably still be great friends today. That actually the power of the institution got between us. There was something to fight over. There was something to own, something to have. This didn't have that. In the end, there was nothing to own. There was nothing to have. It was just brothers and sisters, and the strength of it for all of us would be what we were willing to put into it in terms of making our lives available for relationship. And I think sometimes that's what people miss. We look for relationship to come to us. There are people who, when they were invited to come, felt led to go. Someone put some significant money into plane tickets to go. That's all part of making an investment in relationship. Yep. I'm not going for a teaching seminar. I'm not going so I get something out of it. I'm just going. And I have found what happened is both the expression of something that's been building for 30 years. And for other people, it's also the starting point. It's for them. And I think all of us would say at the end of the day, what was most powerful about this time for all of us wasn't any large group experience. Even in the large group experiences, it was the twos and threes of conversation. It was the fives and sixes. It was just sitting down and talking and sharing your heart, playing around a golf together, going on a tour together, tossing a purple wig around together. It was just the joy of being together, being exactly who we are, a little bit nutty, a little bit free. And out of that, God made himself known I don't think anybody came away unchanged. Even the group in Dublin said, we came away with a sense that God wants to give us a way to our community in a way we haven't experienced yet. And we're not even sure what that means. And we know we don't have to organize anything to make it happen. We're just going to love the way we've been loved and watch God make himself known through us. And that's
fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, you look at the whole dynamic of just allowing it. It didn't happen spontaneously. The idea popped into somebody's head,
yep,
and they were faithful to share it.
Yep.
And the invitation was out there. It wasn't you have to.
Right.
You get to if you want to.
Yep.
And if people are responding to that, when you look at the life that comes by just sort of responding. Was there any organization that had that? Sure. So there were some tasks that people had to prepare for. So it's not like those things are foreign, but nobody, it sounds like you experienced the joy of nobody had to create something to hold on to.
Yep.
It was lives to enjoy and share and come away the richer for it.
And here's the facilitating. It's not leading worship or taking a discussion group. Facilitating meant I'm going to introduce you to this person over here. I'm going to introduce that person over here to this person over here. I want you guys to know each other. And the facilitating was just introducing friends and friends of friends. And I could see this weekend how that can take over the whole world in terms of making the body of Christ known in the world. It doesn't have to be something you can put in the New York Times or Time magazine. If we relate to each other as friends and share our friends with each other and continue to grow in those relationships, there's nothing God can't do in the world through that expression of the life of the church. There's absolutely nothing he can't do.
Yeah.
And
wild.
But it does take, yeah. And I like what you said about this is not a special event. No one else gets to see this. We got to see a wider expression of family. We did because of the number of nations it brought together and just the number of interconnected relationships pre-broad. But next week I'm going to Canada, and there's some people God's bringing together there. Some people have already met. They're used to church together a long time back in a congregational environment, got split up 10 years ago. They've just met each other again in the fact of my coming, and all excited about other people, strangers God's bringing. Some people are coming in from a bit of an area away. We'll have the same kind of thing there, though we'll not have just the whole sitting around the fields and yakking, although that'd probably be the most fruitful thing we can do. They want me to do some yakking, which is always scary. But.
Well, it's when you like read through the Gospels, there's a couple of sermons in there. There's a couple of times when Jesus is talking to a gathering of people. But the bulk of what's in there seem to be the conversations that were life-giving and life-producing that we can even now listen in on and share in. And you just go like, you think of what changes the most. I know that the people that I have been loved by that have just shared who and what they know of God, I remember almost all of that. I couldn't tell you what necessarily that a sermon might have been, but I do know how someone has imprinted their understanding of who God is on my heart. And when you can just sort of be open to sharing that in the most natural of moments, that, I think, advances the kingdom without all the trappings that tend to divide us and get in the way.
Absolutely. And it unmasks the idea that we've got to have something more compatible between us. Because I said with Stan Firth that we had on last week on the podcast, or 2 weeks ago now, I guess. We had dinner with him one night. And just to sit with a 70-year-old man and listen to the things God's revealing in his life. Then the second to last night I was there, two late teenage kids, 19, 20-ish, from different families, from different countries, wanted to have some time to discuss something going on in their life with me, and they made a way to do it and had a chance to talk and pray. And I think some power, they came back the next day and said, you don't know what it meant to me last night. You really helped me over something. And just young people, just the whole idea of age and gender and all the things that divide us were just unimportant. We were just God's kids, brothers and sisters together. And it was deeply, deeply meaningful. But like you said, it's not any different than we get to live our lives every day. It may only be in the twos and threes right now. Maybe someday you get in a wider thing where people from an area are, just a blessing. If God makes a way for you to connect with folks from other countries on this journey, by all means, do it. Don't just sit back and say, I wish I could, when God gives you an opportunity.
Yeah, the reality is that somebody took the initiative to invite others into this, have you considered, kind of gathering.
Yep.
And you were able to do it with the joy of remaining agenda-free. And when you just, I mean, the snippets of what all those people shared, those were outrageous. They're wonderful, going like, wow, how refreshing. How encouraging. What, how nice it is to know that, well, you're not alone. To being built up by the body just because you're experiencing for a moment shared life.
And there was no sense for anybody going away saying, let's do this again next year. Because that just turned into something silly. Or let's go do this in every country next year. It was just, this is something.
On six continents simultaneously.
The focus was God had done this. If God has things to do up the road, we'll part of
them.
Those too when he makes them known. One of the dangers we've talked about there is that we always seem to, if God does something good, we try to make him do it every week or every year. And that always turns into the boring routine of obligation instead of, oh, God did a wonderful thing. All of us that were there were deeply touched. God's going to do a wonderful thing in our lives today, tomorrow, and down the road. And if something like that is on his heart again, and it probably wouldn't be like that at all, but there'll be something else. And when people hear it and open the door and invite some folks to come along, it's amazing what he'll do.
I'm reminded of the moment where, Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's got, three buddies with him. And all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah appear. And Peter blurts out, oh, I know what we got to do. We got to make three booths. And I don't know what it
is. Let's build a building.
I don't know what it is in our religious flesh that sort of feels like when God does something and we're there to experience it, we somehow have to memorialize this into an it or something. But what's wonderful is God just kind of says, all right, I heard what you just did, obscures it all, and what's he say out of that moment? This is my son?
Yeah.
Just listen to him. And when you think the simplicity of what we're being invited to, I don't have to be the shepherd. I just get to be a sheep that knows his voice, that he says, I will follow. I'm not going to follow the voice of a stranger. And it's like, if we'll let him lead and we'll respond to those nudgings, I sort of feel like that's the encouragement, is look what can happen if you'll just respond to the nudgings and what great thing unfolds.
And partly it's, I think we grasp at a tradition because we live like that reality is so rare. We've got to grab it wherever it happens. Instead of live in the reality of God's presence and the relationships he gives us every day is not rare. It's meant to be the way we live. And we get that change of thinking in our hearts. There's no end. There's no telling what God will do through his family.
Yeehaw!
Thanks for traveling with us today on The God Journey. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'd appreciate your comments or your questions by email or at our website, thegodjourney.com. Stop by today and join the conversation.